Yeah, there were, you said a lot of good words. A lot of very good words. I guess I won't comment on them. Some of you already did, so. Okay. One last time, I'm going to probably change just a little bit. We'll go ahead and keep this in mind a little bit, but it might, I've been wrestling a little bit, even sitting in my seat, what to say and what not to say. I have, what would you say, maybe 3 messages on my heart. That doesn't work very well, does it? Building biblical convictions for practical, everyday living. Have I said that enough times yet? That's what was given me, and I keep trying to point our mind back and look at different principles in light of building biblical convictions for practical, everyday living. The title this evening I'm going to give is, as it's been most of the time, a twofold piece, and I'm going to try to share these two aspects that usually blend together. And the first in the title, I guess, will be the two pieces. It's Pursuing God, Pursuing Man. And I don't know if I'll get to the play on words that is a little bit, but in the little box here, Pursuing God, the next one, Pursuing Man. And then over here on this side, A Purpose-Filled Life. A Purpose-Filled Life. Pursuing God, Pursuing Man. When we talk about pursuing, we use that term very freely. Maybe A.W. Tozer started a little bit with his book, The Pursuit of God, and has become a soul, you know, they've printed millions of them. But the concept of pursuit, I was staying at another place last weekend, and they were talking about coyotes. And they asked me, did the coyotes keep you up last night? They have some sheep at their farm. I said, no, I didn't hear them. Well, some of them are a little sensitive to coyotes. They have sheep. When a coyote barks, that means trouble. A coyote pursues a sheep sometimes, right? Well, they have a dog, and they said the dog doesn't do real well sometimes. It likes to come lay by the house instead of by the sheep, and that's a problem. But the dog's job is to pursue the coyote. So when we use this word pursue, pursuing God, pursuing man, when we use this word pursuit, we might picture this coyote running full tilt and a dog behind him pursuing him full tilt. Is that what it is? I'm the dog pursuing God, and God's running away and running ahead of me, and here I am trying to catch up and catch him. Is that what we mean by pursuing God? Mm-mm. That's not what we mean at all. What we actually mean, and I'm sorry, the illustration breaks down a little bit, but would be this dog that's running after the coyote, and the coyote that's running towards the dog. That's actually the way the picture would be better pictured. And again, sorry, not dog or coyote being the principle, but as we pursue God, what I want us to see in the later on here in the message is that God is pursuing us and is pursuing you and is pursuing me harder than I will ever pursue Him. And so if God's heart is after me and it's after you and it's pursuing you, if I'll just turn and pursue, that's a win-win situation, is it not? So let's not take the picture of pursue, meaning just all you have and hopefully I get a little something out of this. No. Call unto me, and I will answer you, this God says. Just call unto me, and I will answer you. God says over and over and over. I think I had for that verse and that concept there, Jeremiah 29:13, and I thought I could quote it, and I didn't quite get it. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. But if this dog says, I'd like to catch that coyote. Come, coyote, I'm going to try to catch you. Will it work? And if we go after God, God, yeah, I'd like the things of God. And I want to be careful here, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. A number of you said some very nice things up here, and you want to put this in practice and all that. But the question is, will you do it with all your heart? Will you truly pursue Him? That's what He says, when you pursue with all. Or are we going to go about it a little haphazardly, half-heartedly? We won't end up with biblical convictions that flow out in practical everyday living, a Christ-like life that flows out in decisions and actions and choices. That won't happen if we just pursue halfway. When we pursue God, we need to be earnest. And I'm just here. I'm here. And again, I'm trying to focus on this front row. Is that okay? Pursue with all. Please. Please! When it comes to these things, you heard, as you all said, lots of things this weekend. I hope some of you, I'm thankful, wrote some things down for you to think about and process later on the back of this paper. Some of you took notes of the other messages, and I'm thankful. Because I want you to go home. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to suggest, I hope you have a time where you open your Bible, you get on your knees, and you also open your notebook. Okay, God, what was this past weekend about? And how should that affect my Monday? I'm going to go into the day in a little bit. Do you know what you're doing in all this? You're pursuing God. Do you get it? You're saying, God, I'm going to go into my Monday. What did I get this past weekend? I was stirred, new thoughts, new, maybe some commitments you made, new desires. How should this affect my Monday? And you think about it. You pray about it. You talk about it. You read the Word about it. And maybe you even talk with your family in the morning at breakfast table. And maybe you ask a brother or sister what he's thinking about it. And how is this past weekend going to affect your Monday? And do you know what you're doing in all that? You're pursuing God. And remember, God is pursuing you. Pursuing God, and God is pursuing man. So when you get on your knees tomorrow morning, and I trust you'll pursue Him, we're doing it as we sit here, but I'm just giving a picture of Monday morning, Tuesday morning, you get on your knees, just remember, the way I remember, there was a time in my life when I took the concept in the morning that my teacher is waiting for me. That's just the little phrase. My teacher is waiting for me. I was actually in another location, and I was in a room with someone else, staying in a room with someone else, and I had to wind down a couple of halls, down some stairs, back a hallway, and in a door that I knew there weren't people there. I wouldn't bother anyone, and no one would bother me. My alarm goes off. I got up, got dressed, did whatever I needed to do, and I head to that little room, and I just take this concept. My teacher is waiting for me in that room. God, my Father, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and He was to work it and mold, and in that room, He's waiting for me. And so I'm walking down the hall, and I think, again, it's been a lot of years. If I remember right, I stopped as I put my hand on that doorknob and just, again, tried to think, He's waiting for me. I know God's everywhere, but sometimes I'm a little human, and I like the concept, He's waiting for me. I'm going to open His Word. I'm going to pursue Him. And so I open the door, I walk in, and I get on my knees. And I'm pursuing God, who's running away and difficult to find. No. He's been waiting. Is He going to come to me this morning? And He's just waiting. And as soon as I'll make an effort and pursue, He's there. And there's blessing. Oh, are the feelings always there? No. But you just watch. Live that kind of a life. And all out pursuit of Him, day after day after day. And you'll look back and say, oh, God was working. He was working. He was changing me. He was molding my thoughts. He was molding my desires. He was molding what I live for. He was molding my... And the other way, let me just stop at that. He's molding and making us when there's an all-out pursuit of God. It'll form, and forgive me if I keep referring to this, but I'll be honest with you, I feel like I already said enough. If you'll just grab some of the things I said, I think it'll bless you young people, and us too, brothers and sisters, right? It'll bless you and change you. So I'm going to remind you again. If you pursue Him, your view of Him will begin to mold and change and become what it ought to be. Your view of Him. You'll realize, I had better fear this God. And have a proper, holy awe of Him. So that as I walk through my day, and yes, if I've meditated on that fear of Him before I begin my day, and there's a holy awe as I step into my day, God, I don't want to sin against You today. And there's a holy fear as you go through it. There's a desire to worship, and there's a desire to bless, and there's a desire to serve, and there's that holy fear, but you also know He's good. He won't ask anything of me that He won't work for good in me. Will it be easy? Will it be because people always make right decisions and people do the right thing? No. But if I respond right. And so I go through my day with this concept. And I have this connection with Him. I pursue Him through the Word of God. And I pursue Him to put an engine on my wagon. Remember that? God, I need help. And a temptation comes. And I remember doing some roofing one day. And there was a particular temptation that was coming at me, and it was in my thought life, purity in my thought life. And here I am, and I knew I had been facing this thing. And so this day, I said, God, I want purity today. What was the song? Do you boys remember? I've mentioned it to you. You don't remember? I can't remember. So I'm going to give you one that I used, but I don't think it was this day. And so I'm working along, and people might have thought I was funny as I tore off the roof, because possibly for the 15th time that day, they would hear me start singing, "All to Jesus I surrender." God, I want to surrender all. As a temptation came, and I started singing. And I kept working. And I tore off a roof. And sometimes just a few minutes later, I needed to start again. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender it, Lord. And maybe I made it an hour, I don't know. Or maybe it was 5 minutes later and away I go. All to an earnest pursuit of Him, His Word, purity in my life. And I'm going to remember what I'm putting into my life, right? What was this man called? The carnal man. What was this one called? And so as I go through my day, I'm pursuing God when I make choices that say, I'm going to pull out of this one and I'm going to throw into this one. I'm going to choose this kind of thing in my life and not this kind of thing. This kind of music and not this kind of music. I'm going to make these kind of choices and not these. Do you know what you're doing? You are pursuing God. And God is sitting on His throne, we say. I'm not sure. We have pictures, I guess, in the Word of Him sitting on His throne. But there He is. We like to look at Him looking down, and He's looking. Yes, He did it. I get to pour out some blessings on Him. God's not sitting up there with a big stick. He's sitting up there with a big bucket of blessings. B-B-B. Can you remember that? Not a big stick, but a big bucket of blessings. What's He going to do today? Yes, the right choice. Whoosh. What's she going to do today? Yes, the right choice. Whoosh. Oh, she made that choice? He made that choice? Oh, I can't dump my blessings. I have to withhold them. It really is simple. This pursuing God concept. Turn with me to Philippians 3:13. There's a little phrase we're going to look at for just a little bit. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, verse 12. I like to get the verse before. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. What's Paul following after? the things of God. God, right? I follow after. If that I may apprehend, if I may attain, if I can just overtake that for which also I have been apprehended or overtaken of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this, what? I want you all to say it. This. Again? Are you there? This. One thing I do. How many things, Paul? One thing. Well, you know, the Apostle Paul should be one of our heroes, right? He's one of mine. What is your one thing in life, Paul? What's one thing? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want that prize, Paul is saying. And I have one thing that I'm doing in my life. Well, Paul, don't you sow tents? Yeah, Mickey, I sow tents. But it's for one purpose, one thing. Paul, haven't you been on a lot of ship rides and walked possibly hundreds, if not thousands of miles from city to city? And yes, I've walked thousands of miles. I've been in shipwrecks. But do you know why? For one thing. That I may attain. This one thing I do. If someone looked at your life and followed you around for 1 week, not saying anything, not bothering you, just watching, and they jotted down what you did, what you talked about, where you went, all the things you did and all the choices you made, would they look over that list after one thing, after a week, and say, that's a purposeful fella. That's a purposeful young lady. She lives for one thing. Would they say that about you and about me? One thing. All of life is wrapped up in one thing. Sure, they did their work diligently. Sure, they did all these things, but I knew down in the motives of the heart was, I want one thing. I'm leaving what's behind. I'm leaving the problems behind. And I'm pressing toward the mark. And I'm making choices like that. Is that what they would say of me? You know, sometimes I feel like I am that way. And sometimes I get a little distracted and busy. And I'm not a one thing man. But the Apostle Paul pursued God and was a one thing man. One thing when he's tying ropes and throwing ropes and pulling ropes. What's this rope throw for? Can I just use my illustrations here? What's this relationship throw for? What's this pull for? What's the motive behind all that? If there's one thing settled down in my heart and I'm throwing and pulling, and pulling, and offering, and grabbing. And that's what life's about. One thing. In all that I do, this one thing I do. Go to Luke. Luke chapter 10. Here we have a story. Verse 41 says, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, we know the picture here. Jesus had come to this town and he entered into the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it says, Martha, what does it say? And it came to pass, verse 38, as they went, that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. So Jesus is traveling along and he comes to a house and Martha says, come in, Jesus, come in. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Note that word also. I get the feeling Martha sat at his feet too. Right? She was at his feet too. Because it says, Martha also, or Mary also sat at Jesus' feet. So Martha was the one that welcomed him in, it seemed. And she was sitting at his feet, and Mary also was sitting at his feet. But let's go on. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Uh-oh, Martha. Did you forget one thing and get cumbered with something? And again, the point Jesus is not making is being negative on servanthood. at all. Serving with a one thing heart is what Jesus wants. But she was cumbered with serving. Can we say that? She got up from sitting at his feet, and she got up in her heart too. And her heart was not a sit at Jesus' feet heart, it was a cumbered. Because look, Lord, I'm serving. Don't you care that my sister has left me to serve here alone? Bid her that she help me. Master, look, I'm working away. I don't know how many people she had to feed. Maybe the disciples were all there. Maybe there were other visitors there. We don't know how many people were there for sure. And she's serving away, and Mary's just sitting there. Jesus, please have her help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about what? One thing? Mm-mm. Many things. Uh-oh, Martha. You're not being like the Apostle Paul, a one thing man. You're cumbered about many things. But do you know what, Martha? How many things are needful? Again? One thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, you want to sit at my feet. You want to listen to me. You want to sit there and soak up what I'm saying. But you have another thing you want to do too. A second thing, or a third thing. Jesus said, many things. Have any of you ever felt cumbered about many things? Me too. Me too. Whew, life is busy. It's going many things. Just before I came down here, I had a very busy month. And I told my wife, maybe I complained. I'm not sure. This fall has been too busy. And you know, some of the problem was probably I was cumbered with more than one thing. God says Mary chose that one thing that was needful and it won't be taken away from her. Go to Psalms 27. Psalm 27, verse 4, we have a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation, he says in verse 1. When the wicked, even mine enemies and foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. My, David, quite the strength, quite the confidence. Though war should arise up against me, and this I will be confident. Why, David, can you have the confidence that when wars and difficulties and problems are coming your way, you don't have to fear? Why, David? Here's why. In this will I be confident. What does it say? One thing. Do you get that? Do you see any repetition here yet? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell. That's just where I'll live, in the house of the Lord. Just dwell there. That's home. Oh, don't you go out and fight your battles, David? Don't you take care of things? Don't you take care of your wife? And there's some children, and there's all these things to worry and scurry about. Yeah, but do you know where home is? The house of the Lord. And I know that if I keep that one thing as the thing I'm seeking after and the thing of my life that I'm focusing on and that I'm pursuing, if I keep it that way, I have nothing to fear. An host can encamp against me. My heart won't fear, because one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, every single day of my life, and not hop out of the house of the Lord like I very possibly did a little bit this past month. I hopped out and had to get busy about some other things. And again, that isn't me. I want to make sure it's clear here. We can be busy and serve God and serve our families and make a living and serve other people and all these things if our heart stays a one thing man. It's dwelling here. Doesn't mean we can't do these things. No. We must do these things. But in light of one thing, one purpose, and one aim. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple, and just be there. And Mark 10:24. The last one here on this pursuing God principle. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I think a lot of you sitting here are asking that question. What do I need to do? I want eternal life. I want to follow God. I want His eternal life in me, starting today, with me, walking with me as I go through life. What must I do that I can inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Verse 20, and he answered and said, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Master, I've done these things. I'm asking, what do I need to inherit eternal life? You're telling me, do this, thou shalt not. Been there, done that. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Jesus looked at him, and love flowed out from him. And sometimes, young people, I see some young people, and they ask good questions. And I think, oh dear, here I'm making myself like Jesus. You know what? Praise God, I am sometimes. And I do some right things. So have mercy on me, because I don't a lot of the time, or sometimes, however you want to say that. But sometimes I look at young people and they ask good questions and a heart of love flows out for me. And there's some of you here. But you know what? I'm concerned with some of you. I'm not concerned with some of you. And thank you for those of you who I'm not concerned with, but sometimes I feel this. And he said unto him, what? One thing thou lackest. Rich young ruler, there's one thing you're missing. You're doing a lot of good things, but there's something down in your heart that you don't want to give up. One thing you're lacking. Back to this one thing, you're missing it. And I know those feelings as I watch people wrestle, think, struggle. Many of you, good comments, good heart, good, a lot of good things, and yet does God know down in your heart one thing you're lacking? And I don't know what that thing is, but do you? Does God know? Is there a one thing that you're lacking? You want to follow Him? Good master, what can I do that I can live as a spiritual Christian life? What can I do that I throw my ropes where they belong? What can I do to live under a holy fear and understand Your goodness? What can I do to understand Your word and study it and meet with You and all these things? What good master can I do? Is He looking at you with love and a heart that's burdened? And says, one thing you lack. Go, sell the thing that's hindering you. Get rid of it. Sell it. Throw it away. Get it out of your life. Begin to throw in this cycle. Begin to yank out of this cycle. Begin to cut ropes where it's needed. Begin to throw ropes where needed. Whatever it is that one thing that He's looking on and with love. And He's saying, please, please, sell what that one thing. Get rid of it. Okay, one thing you lack. Go and sell what you have. Sell that thing that's hindering you from being a one thing man. A one thing woman. Sell what thou hast. Give to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved. Oh, let's not do it. Like that. Let's not follow this man who had one thing, but it was the wrong thing. He didn't have one thing. I'm sorry. He had something that was blocking him from the one thing that he needed. Let's pursue God. There are some of you here who need to begin your pursuit of God. Just begin. Being born again, we say, committing our life to Christ, whatever. I want to somehow, I hope we have portrayed a little bit this week, the beauty and the excitement of being a follower of Jesus. There's nothing more fulfilling. We're talking about a life that's fulfilled. There's nothing more fulfilling, and some of you need to begin. But I realize that's just a doorway. That's not, to begin is just a beginning. To commit your life to Christ is just a beginning, but some of you need to do that. Some of you need to come before Christ and say, Lord, I'm lacking a one thing purpose in my life. You need to pursue God and be a one thing man for your own sake. You need to do it for the church's sake. The church needs you to be a one thing woman and a one thing man. You need to do it for the lost sake. God's looking for men, and we'll look at that. God is searching for men also. And you need to do it for God's sake. God's worthy. He's your creator, and he deserves you to be a one thing man. I'm going to jump just a little bit now. We looked at pursuing God. Now, I want us to change to pursuing man just a little bit. I want you to go back to Genesis. We'll bring these two together, but let me jump, as we've done all this week, a little bit. God is pursuing man, and man is to pursue man. And we'll see if we can weave these two together for a fulfilled life. Jump to Genesis chapter 3. We know this story. It's used very often in many illustrations, and I love the picture it gives us here also. We have a God, a creator, who reaches out of eternity and says, let's make a universe. And he begins to create. And it's day one, and it's good. And it's day two, and it's good. And it's day three, day four, day five, day six, and day seven, he rests. And we don't know how long this cosmos went on, and it might have gone on for a few days. It might have been years. I personally don't think it was very long. I don't think that the serpent would have just sat on his heels and waited for, let's just wait 100 years. I don't think so. But I don't know that I have proof. Maybe they lived in the Garden of Eden for years. I don't think so. I think it was a short time. Personal opinion. And the serpent comes along, and he wants to start communicating. We looked at this earlier, didn't we? Bringing out that maybe God is withholding something. They did wrong. And in verse 8, after they had sinned, verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And it seems like that was kind of normal. And here's God, he's walking in the garden. But this time, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They went and hid. This wasn't normal. This wasn't what they did normally. They went and hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Do you ever hide yourself? When you know God might be speaking and he might be touching something in your life, or maybe your parents might come, or maybe one of the brothers is coming and wants to talk with you, and you just kind of tend to hide. That's not good. If we have a tendency to hide, that means we must have something to hide. But that's what Adam did. But do you know what is one of the most beautiful things that should thrill our hearts? This God didn't say, okay, Adam, you're the one hiding. I guess you're not interested. And walk out of the garden. He didn't do it. Do you know what he did? He did one of the most amazing things that we don't find the gods that other people create doing. This God, that is our God, did this after they hid themselves among the trees. Verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Isn't that beautiful? Why didn't God just say, fine, Adam, you made your choice. Not only are we pursuing him, he is pursuing us. Hallelujah! A win-win situation. What a God we have. Adam, where are you? Adam said, I heard the voice of the Lord God and I was afraid. There was a call that went out. And Adam just hid. Was he pursuing God? Was he a one-thing man? He wasn't. He wasn't. He had another thing that he wanted to have, that he wanted to get. He wasn't a one-thing man. Lord, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. I was naked. I hid myself. But let's not look at that. Let's look at the beauty. This is a God who down through history, though he was the creator and he made it perfect and he made it beautiful and we made a wreck of it, he didn't just say, have fun in your own mire. You made a mess of it. There you have it. Go for it. He didn't. He came walking and calling, Adam, where are you? It's not very far later. We have Cain in Genesis chapter 4. And Cain brought before the Lord, he brought before the Lord some fruit of the ground, and Abel brought before the Lord his offering. And in the process of time, verse 3 of chapter 4, let's go on to verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. They both brought their offerings, but to Cain he had no respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Cain. Come on, Cain. And I think maybe God had that. The Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Okay, first, stop here a minute. So God didn't accept it, and Cain's upset. Did God make a mistake? Mm-mm. He could have said, Cain, you made your choice. Fine. But we find God again pursuing man. The Lord said unto Cain, Cain, where are you? Don't you think that's what he was saying? That's what he was asking, just like he was searching for Adam. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over. Cain, if you would just do well, I'll hear you. Whose problem is it here? It's Cain's. Is it God's problem? Mm-mm. It's Cain's problem. That's the way it always is. I'm so thankful for a God, though, that pursues me. And he pursues you. Maybe you haven't been pursuing him like you should. You haven't been a one thing man. Do you know what? God is out there. God is here. Whatever the right preposition is. God is. And he's saying your name. Daniel, where are you? If you've turned away, and I'm not saying you have, sorry, I didn't mean to specifically use that you have turned away. That's not my point at all. But that's what he's doing. And he's calling, Mickey, where are you? And he's pursuing. God looked at, we'll jump a few. There's lots of these. Oh, I like this one. 1 Samuel. Lots of times we find this God pursuing man. 1 Samuel 3. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Oh no! The word of the Lord hasn't been very often. It hasn't been very much. It's been skimpy. God hasn't been speaking, and so it was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim. Do you think there's a reason we know about Eli's life, right? Is there a reason that was holding God at bay and there wasn't much open vision and God wasn't leading much? Isn't that clear? It was Eli. He had a problem. We won't go into that, but he was holding him. But do you know what? Even though there were problems, this God reached out. Hallelujah. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, Samuel also laid down to sleep. It's bedtime. Eli went to his place. He laid down. Samuel went to his place. He laid down. At that time, the Lord called unto Samuel. And he called. The Lord called unto Samuel. Samuel! Samuel! Samuel said, here am I. He ran to Eli and said, here, Eli, here am I. You called me. Eli said, no, Samuel, I didn't call you. Go lay down. And he went and laid down. The Lord called again, Samuel! Samuel arose, went to Eli. Here am I. Isn't that beautiful? There's a call ringing out as God shouts a name across the universe. And he's shouting mine and yours, by the way. And Samuel responds, here am I. He ran to Eli. Here am I, for you called me. And he said, I called you not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. Good job, Samuel. You're doing good. You're responding to this call that's going out. He needed a little instruction. That's okay. God will give it. You respond. God will give instruction. And you know how he oftentimes gives it? Through other people. Other people. Go lay down, Samuel. The Lord called yet again. Samuel rose and went to Eli. God called again, Samuel! And he said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Eli, I heard it. And he answered, I called you not, son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Some of you here do not yet know the Lord. But just maybe he's calling your name. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And God called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli. Samuel! Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, Samuel. It shall be that if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. So Samuel went laid down in his place. How do you think this boy felt? Oh, Eli, you weren't saying it. You mean God might be saying it? Okay, Eli, I'll go lay down again. And he went and he laid down. How do you think he would have felt? Whew, I wouldn't have slept. I'm that kind, though. I don't go to sleep easy with things on my mind. Go lay down, son. And if he call thee, say, speak, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down, and the Lord came again. This God pursued me, Samuel, us, people, again. Thank you, God. Samuel, as he did at other times, Samuel. Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak, for your servant heareth. 2 Chronicles 16, 9. A verse I love and spoke to me a lot as a young person. I don't think about it as much now. I probably should. 2 Chronicles 16, 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He's looking and he's looking and his eyes are going back and forth and he's looking at all, watching our lives and as we live them and he's looking for a heart that's perfect. His eyes are calling, Adam, where are you? Mickey, and each of our names, and his eyes are going back and forth. I want to show myself strong. Young people, do you need something fulfilling to live for? Here it is. That the God of the universe, when he calls, you're Samuel-like. Speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. Listen, I want to tell you something. That voice may not always be, and again, I'm using Andy's illustration, in some vibratingly exciting spiritual way. It might be a simple knock on the wall or on the door from dad or mom. It might be from a minister who says, something seems like it should change in this or that. Or it might be a rope somewhere else that's pulling. Or it might be, and I can go on and give the illustrations. I feel like I've given a lot this past week. Can you just realize we need to look back into the face of our Father, into the eyes of the one scanning to and fro throughout the earth, the eyes that are calling, Adam, where are you? Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Go to Zechariah chapter 4. I'm jumping over a bunch. Some of you know them. He sought for a man to stand in the gap. Did he find one? And he wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to stand between. The prophets made these comments. Lots of verses like that where you find the heart of God longing to find a man. And he's calling out even to the nation of Israel, Adams, where are the Adams? Where are the Samuels? Where was I going? Zechariah 4. Let's see, how do we do that? Zechariah, is it Zechariah, Malachi? So just right before the New Testament, we have Malachi, then before that is Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4, 6, starting in verse 6. Then he answered, and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth a headstone, therefore with his shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? We kind of look back here at Zerubbabel. He was in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Zerubbabel was also one of them who helped to build and work and motivate the people. And God says, Don't despise the day of small things, for they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. His eyes are going back and forth. And young people, don't you despise the day of small things. A small decision is not a small decision. A small decision is a decision. Don't despise the day, because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, and He's watching my small decisions. And you and I make lots of small decisions. I don't remember which day it was, made the comment. I think many of our small decisions build our biblical convictions more than our deep doctrinal studies. I'm not trying to take away from deep doctrinal studies, but as we make daily decisions in life, it's forming who we are, what we think, where we're going, and these convictions are being built. Don't despise the day of small things. The eyes of the Lord are watching, and He sees all the small decisions you make. Adam, where are you? Luke chapter 14. I'm jumping over a bunch. I have a whole list of them here. Luke chapter 14, we also know this parable. This parable, we have a king. No, doesn't call him a king. What's it call him? In verse 15, calls him a certain man. Okay, we just have a certain man. In verse 16, made a great supper and he bade many. And we know this is God as in the kingdom of God. And so there's a call that has gone out and gone across the land. And this certain man, as an example of God, has invited many to come to the banquet. Come to my banquet. Do you know what he's saying? Come, Adam. Come, Samuel. That's what he's saying. Come to this banquet. It's the call of God. I made a great supper and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidding, Come, all things are ready. Come, Adam. And again, that voice is still calling, Come. And they all, with one consent, begin to make excuse. Uh-oh. The call's going out again. And this time, okay, other times there were, this time we have an Adam problem and they're hiding themselves. Instead of a Samuel beautiful, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. They all began to make excuse. First off, the one said, I bought a piece of ground. I need to go see it. Sorry, I'm a little too busy with houses and lands and stuff and things. And I bought it and I'm just too busy. Sorry, I can't come. We don't say that, do we? Or do we? Did I, this past month, turn down a couple opportunities to talk to people about the kingdom of God because I was a little busy? And what I said was, sorry, God, I got the next mowing job to do. I'm a little too busy. Mickey, where are you? I think God's heart was saying to me, are there other things where we make decisions? And we wouldn't say, oh, sorry, God, I got other things to do. We wouldn't say that, but do we say it with little decisions in life here and little decisions in life there? Let's not do that. Don't do it, young people. Let's be faithful. I want to be one of those men that says, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I'm willing, again, back to what we've talked this past week, and I really say that. Whatever it was this past week that you felt niggled at you, that you maybe you acknowledged or maybe you didn't, as something you need to grow or change or repent of or whatever it was, if you don't do it, what you're saying is, no thanks, Lord. I don't want your banquet. Don't do that. Don't do it. Say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening, and I'll do whatever you say. I'll make those choices, those small day choices. I'm sorry, I bought a piece of ground. I must know and go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And he answered and said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. Yeah, I'm really busy making money, I guess. This business deals and whatever, and I'm just too busy with the things that, sorry, I can't come. Another said, I've married a wife. I have relationships I need to take care of. I guess I just, or relationships I want to keep up. I don't want to cut any of those ropes. I don't want to drop off any of them, no. I have some relationships I want to keep, and I'm saying no. And God is left with eyes having to jump over me and look for someone else. Don't do it, young people. Don't do it. God is looking for men. Pursuing God, pursuing man. God is pursuing us, and we just need to pursue Him. And the way we do it is, again, as we've talked all week, small, common decisions, choosing the right thing, pursuing Him. Yes, the study of His Word, begging Him to empower our wagon, walking in the fear of God, and all those times we're saying, speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. I make choices that I know will bless my parents and the church. And what did we talk about? The practical things, whether it's technology or it's all these things we talk about. Speak, Lord. Your servant's hearing. Oh, wait, God, I don't like that, though. One thing you lack, rich young ruler. Deal with it. That's the way our loving God is pursuing, but waiting on us to pursue Him. Pursuing God, who is pursuing man. But do you know what? If you enlist in this, and the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, and He stops and He sees, there's someone. He's being faithful. I'm pursuing Him. He's pursuing me. Do you know what you'll do? You'll join God in pursuing man also. Pursuing God, pursuing man. God is pursuing man, and we are to be pursuing man. And that's a beautiful thing. As we pursue Him, and we earnestly pursue Him, and He is pursuing us, if we are the, yes, Lord, your servant hears, we get to join Him and become fellow laborers with Him. And now God says, you pursue man too. Wow. I'm also now supposed to be someone who calls out, Samuel, Adam. I'm joining God in making that call. That means as I get up in my day, not only am I pursuing God, but I'm also pursuing man because I'm joining God. And so here we have this beautiful picture and this picture of I'm pursuing God. God's pursuing me. As I follow, I now pursue man with Him. And do you see this little play on words here? Pursuing God, pursuing man, and life becomes saturated with fulfillment. And you get up in the morning, and it's, I want to pursue God. I know He's pursuing me. And I'm going to join Him and pursue my fellow man. A young man just asked me, what can I do? Well, what can I really do? And I told him, you don't know how much you can do. Young people, do you know how much you can do? All of you know of some difficulty somewhere, whether it's a relationship, whether it's something in the church, whether it's a lost soul, whether it's between some of you, whether it's whatever it is, you know some of those things. You have a job. You have a job. If you're going to be someone pursuing God, God's pursuing you, and He's looking for men to join Him in the battle of pursuing other men. You have an amazing job. You young people don't realize it, I don't think. I think you could be a tremendous stimulus in creating and blessing your church here in Tennessee and Grace Christian Fellowship and helping create a vibrant, forward-moving, unified body that would go forward and be a light to the world. You can make a difference! Right? You actually don't know how much you could. I don't think you do. I was talking with another brother, and we were discussing a few things. And I asked him, and I blessed him, "You have a good heart. You're seeking to make peace. You're trying to help here and there." And I asked him, "What do you think? If everyone in the church had the kind of heart that you're explaining, how would the church be?" He said, "I think it'd be pretty good." And I agreed with him. If every one of us would take our responsibility and we would say, "God, You have been pursuing me. I raise my hand and enlist. I hear Your call. I hear this Adam. I hear this Samuel. I hear my name. I enlist. I get rid of all the other things. I'm here to pursue You, and I join You in pursuing my fellow man." If you all would do that, and I have the privilege of coming back here in just 1 year, you'd all be different. You would. You'd all be different. Probably every one of you. Would you do that? Would you join with me? I'm trying to do that. I'm not doing it all right. I'm making mistakes. You will too. But would you join me? Would you join the brothers and sisters that have heard this call that rings out across the world and across the centuries? God's saying, would you become one of my people that enlists in the army and says, "Yes, God, I'm going to pursue with all I have. I know You're pursuing me, and now I'm going to join You and pursue other men." Oh, that You do that. I don't know. Some of you, for the first time, need to say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant's hearing." Some of you, for the first time, you need to commit your life to Christ. You need to do that. Don't say, "Oh, yeah, I'll do it someday." Don't do that. Some of you need to do that. You need to take your sin and dump your bucket. Some of us here, may God help me open my heart and eyes and your heart and eyes. Some of you also, you've dumped your buckets before. You need to dump it again. God's saying, "Adam!" And you're saying, "Put the lid on." Won't work. God might quit calling someday. He's merciful. He'll probably call again, and He'll call again. Don't put the bucket on. Don't hide in the fig leaves. Say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant's hearing." We're looking. God is looking across the globe. Sometimes I don't understand myself. Why, Mickey, do you hesitate? Come on, what are you thinking? Why not die to self? Why not dump your bucket? Why? Oh, Mickey, self. Pride, sin, dirty things, teddy bears. Forgot about that. Yes, teddy bears. No, I just want to hang on to this like the rich young ruler. Do you know what the rich young ruler's teddy bear was? Go and sell what you have. What you have. The poor rich young ruler went away sorrowful. Don't do it. Some of you need to keep being faithful. Just be faithful. You get up Monday morning, "Speak, Lord. Your servant's hearing." Go through your day. "Speak, Lord. Your servant's hearing." "Oh, yes, Lord, that was wrong." Dump the bucket. Do what you need to. Confess whatever needs to happen. You walk on through your day. "Lord, how can I join You? How can I serve my brother, my sister? How can I serve in the church? How can I connect with that person who's walking through the store aisles and share a word of truth? How can I connect with the person across from the gas pump? God, how can I serve here, the lost, and draw them? How can I serve my family? It's Sunday morning. We're going to go to church. How can I serve my dear brothers and sisters Sunday morning? How can I help create unity and peace?" Do you think coming out of that person's mouth will be tearing someone else down? Won't happen. Won't happen. Because you're saying, "Speak, Lord. I want to see Your kingdom flourish." Oh, I know. There's times to sit down and say, "I feel there's something in your life that's not right," and there you're being negative. But talk to them about it. Don't talk to another brother. Don't go tearing things down. Let's be open. Let's be free. Let's join God. Adam, where are you? I am trying to say, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And I know some of you are too. Thank you. Let's keep being faithful. Those of you who know you're saying, speak, Lord, but, I want to be one thing, but what about the second thing? Was Martha a two-thing woman? Was the rich young ruler a two-thing man? God wasn't pleased. And you'll go away sorrowful. You will. All right. Let's do it. Will you do it with me? I want to. I know many of you want to. Would you be willing to just say, speak, Lord, your servant hears in anything. Anything. And you grab some of the principles that are stirring on your heart. And next week, you'll find a fulfillment in life. Speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. Speak, Lord, bucket dumped. Teddy bear gotten rid of. A right choice into the spiritual man cycle. Yank it out of the carnal cycle. Throwing ropes the right direction. Cutting ropes and growing and saying, speak, Lord, your servant is hearing. Your servant is listening. Speak. Yes, God. Oh, now I'm linked in arms with God. How can I help that one sitting in the back corner by himself? How can I help that one who I know is kind of wrestling? How can I encourage this one who I know was having some difficulties in life and there's pressures? And how can I, just in little ways, don't despise the day of small things. Little things are big things. Okay. You young people don't know what it's like to be done after having spent hours preparing my heart, my thoughts, and then sharing with you. You don't know what that's like, but I'm done. And I always feel when I'm done. I didn't do probably the best I could. I'm not discouraged, but I sometimes come before God and say, God, I'm trying. I hope I've been able to communicate a little bit with you. For God's sake, my Father's sake, for you as a church's sake, for the lost around you's sake, for my sake, I need you. I need you all to be faithful. My children need you all to be faithful. We're going to run this race together. Speak, Lord, your servant's hearing. Will you do that for me in practical, everyday, little things, day after day after day, so that this big bucket of blessings can go whoosh on your life? Do it, Lord, right? Bless you all. God bless you all. Pray that we'll be faithful and we'll do the same for you.